Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
2024 is upon us, which means a packed schedule of FA Cup, AFCON, and of course, Premier League action. Beat the January Blues and watch every game with the atmosphere it deserves down at your local Green King Sports Pub. Don't settle for a dodgy stream. If it's on the telly, it's on at your local Green King across their huge HD screens. And if you download the Green King Sports app, you'll also receive 10% off every single drink whenever there's a game on. Their venues offer a range of low and no alcohol options too. So dry January doesn't mean you have to settle for a worse sporting watching environment. So check it out. Green King Sports Pubs. Spurs fans around the world, it's Theo Delaney here with a special live Spurs show from the Albany in London's glamorous West End. Yay. We have so much to talk about tonight, including a dominant Tottenham performance at Old Trafford, which only yielded a single point on Sunday and featured debuts for new signings Werner and Dragušin. Ongoing transfer window speculation may be indulged in. There's worrying news about Yves Bissouma's health, and there are new loan destinations for several Spurs players. All this and much more to come, and here to help me sift through it all are two highly esteemed members of the Spurs Show squad. Welcome back, literary agent to the stars, Matthew Hamilton.
Thank you, Theo. Good to be back. Thank you, everyone.
And super heavyweight football writer Martin Lipton. Well, gentlemen, only one place to start. Old Trafford, leaking roof and all. Terrible old place. It's quite strange, actually, isn't it, to think what an absolute dump it is.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. It's incredible when you think, 30 years ago, it was the best stadium in the country by miles, and we were in dear old White Hart Lane, and look at how things change. And that was reflected, wasn't it, with the action on the pitch, because I don't know about you, Matthew, but I don't think I can ever remember a Tottenham team going there and totally outclassing the opposition and dominating in terms of possession throughout the 90 minutes. What about you?
No, it's certainly rare. I think we had a good result during the COVID period.
Yeah, we've had results.
We've had results, but not a convincing performance like that. I know, it's amazing to feel real mixed feelings. I felt quite disappointed that we didn't get all three, although that last minute chance they had.
It could have been
very
worse.
Very fortunate it could have been worse. But no, it's just we looked, and also to have Skip and Højbjerg on the team sheet at the beginning thinking, okay, this is going to be a struggle. Well, certainly that the football is going to be functional and boring. But no, we just looked really assured, and you can just see that there's just, a real identity and shape to the team now. That almost no matter who we put in, there is... it continues.
And total conviction and confidence, that's the thing, isn't it? That's what he brings. Martin, did you think we should have won?
Well,
I think if any of Son, Kulusevski or Maddison were on the pitch, they would have won quite comfortably. If all three were on the pitch, they'd have won by five.
Yeah.
But in the circumstances, I was really impressed with the maturity of the display. I thought Skip, who I'm not his biggest fan, I thought he played extremely well, actually. Yeah. Bentancur was the best player in the park. Yeah. And Richarlison's working so hard, winning the ball back and really grafting. I think Van de Ven took 20 minutes to get his himself acclimatised back to playing after being out for so long. But the longer that went on, the better he was. And there's a lot of risk reward about the way they play, no question. Particularly, you know, Porro is going to be a weakness defensively, but what he gives you going forward, I think, outweighs that. And they had two shots and they both went in. I mean, they were two really good goals.
They were literally their only two shots on target.
But that was all they did until the last minute.
Yeah.
And the one thing Tottenham lacked was that bit of cutting edge right at the death. And also by the end they were running on empty a little bit, weren't they? They were still the better team, but it was a bit tired, and they didn't have any option off the bench to change it. But all in all, I thought it was very impressive. The control, the certainty, the poise, the bravery, actually. I mean, you shut your eyes sometimes when they play short, but you see why they do it, because of
suddenly they're bish bosh,
and they're in behind in the blink of an eye, and that is the plan. It's a little bit of a gamble, but isn't it more fun to watch that than the dour nonsense we'd had to put up with for 3 or 4 years? So I'm willing to be a tightrope walker when it's as much fun as that.
It really is the exact opposite, isn't it, in terms of mentality and philosophy. It couldn't be any more different from Mourinho and Conte. It's like, let's risk it. To dare is to do in you know, manifest on a football pitch. There's been some, I mean, I thought everyone played well. There's only one performance that people have sort of called out and said wasn't good, which I think was possibly unfair, which is Brennan Johnson. Yeah, what do you think?
I mean, it wasn't great. It probably was the weakest performance of the game. I mean, I'm not totally convinced by him. He's not like, it's not like Van der Ven, who just would have walked into the team and looks like he'd been playing for us for years. I mean, he seems very comfortable at the level that they're now at.
Yeah.
Johnson, I don't know, he has flashes of brilliance. I mean, he's obviously full of potential, but he is still a bit raw. And I suppose maybe he would have been eased in more under normal circumstances. So I think he's been thrown in, you know, in the deep end, you know, over and over again. And so I don't know. I mean, I think I'm certainly more confident about him than I might be about someone like Sessegnon, who I just can't see.
I've seen him linked with United today, please. Sorry.
What? Sessegnon?
Apparently, yeah.
Bloody hell. Torquay United, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, some people have said there's been a bit of a sort of a spat happening online about, you know, people slagging him off and other people defending him. And some people have said quite reasonably, you know, it took Heung-min Son a season and a half, two seasons, to actually start being picked to start regularly. And look at him now, he's a bona fide legend. If you remember, Chris Waddle got loads of stick. I mean, that's going back a bit, but most of us here will remember he got loads of stick for the first 6 months at least, didn't he? It was like, I mean, he was really, really, he didn't look the part at all. Aaron Lennon he was pretty good early on, but his crossing was very irregular. So players in that position, the one thing about Johnson, we talk about confidence, and he still looks to me like he doesn't quite believe it himself. But again, you've got to give him time.
I don't think the injury helped, because he was just starting to find a bit when he got injured. He's got pace, clearly. And a couple of times this season, you know, the goal against Everton, which he created, that pullback, that was the frustration. The one moment when he got away on Sunday, when he went beyond a very good doggy defender in Wan-Bissaka. He's probably one of the better defensive fullbacks, even if he's on the wrong side, because he really is hard work. And he got beyond him, and the cross he's played twice for goals, he overhit. And if he plays that ball in, Richarlison probably scores, and that would have been really good. And there was another one right at the death, actually, where he spun away really well from Wan-Bissaka on halfway. And you think, something could happen here. Mm. And then what's that? He just snaked out a leg to get the touch. So it's little bits. It's a bit about confidence. It's a bit about growing into himself as well. I mean, maybe he's at the moment, he's probably better to be a last 25-minute man against tiring defenders when you start with Kulusevski or whomever.
Yeah.
But it's far too early to be that dismissive and negative. Definitely. I mean, look, there comes a point when you think, I look at certain players, I think, he's just never going to crack it. Hill's one of those for me. He's never going to be a Tottenham player, just never going to be good enough. It's time to draw down the curtain. I'm nowhere near that with Johnson yet. If we're still here this time next year making the same observations, then maybe. It's a long way to go.
I'm quite sure they didn't expect him to start every week. You know, that wasn't... He was young and they had other options, but you know, obviously the injuries and...
What if they expected him to start every week? They wouldn't have signed him on deadline day, would they?
Well, yeah. He was
there to add to bolster the squad.
Yeah, absolutely. And that would have made sense because he'd come on, start a few games, but mostly come on, as you say, as kind of impact stuff. And we could have, you know, felt his way into it and he wouldn't have felt under so much pressure. Because now, I guess, he goes out in a game like that and he's feeling like it hasn't been going that well and it starts to weigh down on him a bit.
And also when he knows there's no alternative.
Yeah.
So he has to perform.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's, you know, sometimes if you think, well, okay, if it doesn't quite work today... There's always someone else.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of that as well. But I don't want to pick holes after they played like that.
No.
You know, and it's...
No, no.
Given where we were 2 months ago, at the end of that pretty miserable run of defeats and, you know, leading and losing spell, to be sat where we are now, on the cusp of all these players coming back...
Yeah.
You're thinking, hang on, this is actually quite good, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think it was Gary Neville who said afterwards something like, I really actually think, looking at this team, I think when they get their players back, I think they should be looking at second or third in this table. I think they're that good. And then people going, really? And then other people saying afterwards, we might be up. That's where we were top of the league until we got all...
Yeah.
Until we lost all those players. Top of the league.
There looks like now... with a couple more that have come in, more depth. If we can, you can't imagine that all of these injuries are going to continue to happen. So eventually you're going to have a run when Spurs don't get injuries and others do.
But it's amazing how everyone stepped up. I mean, do you remember that when we played Fulham away in the Carabao Cup and we had that slight B team and it was just such a gulf and we were all so depressed thinking, God, if there's going to be
even,
any injuries,
even the last
screwed.
15 minutes at home to Fulham in the league when he made four or five subs and you suddenly saw a massive fall off. Fortunately, we were two up and they didn't have any faith in themselves.
That's not there now.
But, I think, for all his flaws, I think Emerson's been excellent.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And likewise, Davis. Yeah.
Definitely.
And it's good to see. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I'm still not sold on Hill, but Lo Celso has turned up when he's been fit in a way that he hadn't done probably before.
He's getting a tune out of all of them, which is yet another sign of an exceptional manager.
Yeah. I have to suggest, you know, rather than this, you're useless, you're not good enough for me.
Absolutely.
We're all part of it. We're all part of this journey. I need you with me. It's amazing what being positive to people can impact them.
Totally. What did you make of Werner?
Well, he's very entertaining. you feel he could sort of cause a lot of a commotion. But, I mean, as long as he doesn't shoot, you know, because sort of every single...
I mean, he did really early on. He had a crazy...
flashback of his Chelsea era every time he did. But actually, I mean, given that he, you know, hadn't played for so long and was thrown into it in a matter of days... I thought he did pretty well, and I thought... I mean, it's a complete no-risk loan, isn't it, written away, but...
Yeah, I mean...
But I don't know, I thought he was actually quite exciting, even though, you know, it has its flaws.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a handful, because he's going to work hard, he's incredibly pacey, and the great thing is he's ready-made. He's played loads of games for Germany.
In the short term, he gives them the definition and profile that Son does on the left. So he's got pace, he's going to press strongly, he can run in behind. Now, he's not as good a player, but it means that the shape of the team is better because Hill wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, whoever else, we haven't got anybody else, and Johnson's doesn't want to play on the left, as we saw the other week. So it works in the short term. And then when Son comes back, you've got five rotation for three places.
Yeah.
And, you know, it helps immeasurably when the centre forward actually scores goals, which he has done. He's 6-6. And I have to say, he'll miss a few, but he's a pain in the backside to mark to play against clearly.
Yeah.
And so you've got Richarlison playing well, you've got options, Werner can play left or right. I remember that game in the Champions League when he absolutely ran us ragged. It was only 1-0 and he scored the penalty, but we couldn't get close to him. He played off a shit and we had a lot of injuries that day, but we had no idea what to do with him. And I looked at that, and when Chelsea signed him, I thought, well, they've got a good one there, because I saw what he did to Tottenham. And he never quite did that for a variety of reasons. But the talent is there. And if he comes back and if he's 70% of that, he's really going to be very effective. And also it's like he needs to play well for himself. There's no risk for Tottenham. You know, if it doesn't work out, we send him home. If it does work, it's a £15 million deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's win-win, isn't it? Yeah. And the thing is, because you've still got Son and Kulusevski and Johnson and Richarlison and Solomon, if it doesn't work out and he doesn't get much football, well, then so be it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's...
And I thought it was quite a brave performance from him in a way. I mean, even though we can laugh about him skying it over the bar, at least he wasn't afraid to have a go, and he was completely. I mean, he's proving a point.
He got involved in the second goal, and you know, if they'd just been, also who was he being fed by? It's one really good ball by Skip, but we didn't have many of those passes in behind. Now, when the number 10 comes back and can low, because he's so quick. Those little 10-yard balls he's in behind. Now, what happens when he gets in behind is another matter.
Yeah.
But let's see.
Yeah.
You know, and if he knows he's going to be able to be fed there regularly in the match, he's going to make those runs with more confidence. It could be really good.
Yeah. And Solomon's back soon, as well as Son. And Kulusevski presumably only had a minor bug. So, yeah, like you say, suddenly we've got all these players, you know, to start and rotate and to bring off the bench. And they're all... hard players to play against. They all bring different things, but they all have something to offer.
It looks like a squad of 18 suddenly, rather than 13, doesn't it? You know, it just feels there's more depth, and that suddenly gives you far more options.
Let's take a brief break, and then we'll talk about whether we think it's going to evolve further, this squad, this month. For premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews and original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show and support our show in the process. Get yourself some lovely Spurs Show merchandise, check it all out and be the envy of your friends. You click the link on the description to this podcast to see the array of goodies. Our monthly London live shows are up and running. As I can see in front of my very eyes, it's a great time to sign up at season.spursshow.net. On February the 28th, we've got Peter Taylor coming. And we will be getting his Norman Wisdom impression. And then who said that? Mr. Grimsdale, yeah. And then on March the 20th, we've got Spurs Show Evening with Paul Gascoigne at the Leicester Square Theatre. So the cost of your season ticket will be half repaid with that event alone. For individual show tickets, check out the link to the description of this podcast. You can now follow us on Facebook, X and Instagram. And please leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts. Next Monday, we're at the Antwerp Arms in Tottenham. Because Julie Welch's got a new book out, and it's called Double Acts, and it's all about Spurs strike partnerships, and it's really good. I've read it, so I'm going to be interviewing Julie about that for the launch of the book, but we're going to take the opportunity also to do the show from there. So it'll be Julie and Rob White and Ian Ridley, whose publishing company is doing the book. Ian Ridley, who Martin will know very well, revered doyen of the football writing world. So that's next Monday at the Antwerp Arms, if anyone fancies that. I'm really looking forward to that. That's free, and you can get tickets online. So there'll be a link. You can certainly find the link on my Twitter, Julie's Twitter, Rob's Twitter, Ian Ridley's Twitter, and hopefully in the show notes for this show. So it's free, but it's good to book in advance because there's a limited amount of tickets. So, gents, what about this transfer window? First of all, let's talk about these loans. I mean... Alfie Devine and Ashley Phillips have gone to Plymouth. Were you surprised, Martin, that Phillips didn't come through and has been sent back to a Premier League, to a Championship club, which is theoretically an inferior one to the one that he came from?
If he wasn't going to play for, in the second half of the season for Tottenham, which I think was unlikely, it makes sense for him to go and not play for Spurs in that. This second half, in the first half, towards the end of the first half of the season, because he couldn't then play, because he played a bit for Blackburn, didn't he, I think, at the start of the season.
Oh, okay, I didn't realise
that. So you're only allowed to play for two clubs in a season.
Yeah.
So now, going to Plymouth, it's about playing football.
And it's
going to be... I mean, he got rave reviews on his debut at Huddersfield,
didn't he? He got man of the match,
Which was really good.
Yeah.
And obviously, Devine, who was at Port Vale, is now... gone there as well.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Craig went to Doncaster, didn't he? Who went to Doncaster?
Matthew Craig went to Doncaster.
Right, yeah.
And obviously Spencer's gone to Genoa never to return, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
There seems to be issues.
Spence
with
is a controversial figure, isn't he?
I'm hearing things that are make me suggest that he has an awful lot of maturity left to find, shall we say.
Apparently, the reason why Ange didn't like him is they went off on tour, and the first thing Spence said, because he quite liked the look of him as a player, and when they all turned up on tour, Spence had a tantrum about his hotel room, said it wasn't good enough. I mean, what are you, a TV commercials director or something? Come on, mate, it's a team game. You're all...
I mean, it just shows how ludicrous some of them are, aren't they? Come on, just do it.
Yeah.
You've been sent around the world for nothing. You've been paid to go.
Yeah.
And maybe he just doesn't like Perth or whatever it is. You know, it's like...
I don't know. But, I mean, you know, these are all rumours, obviously. There. But Reguilon, he's gone to Brentford.
Yeah.
That's Reguilon is absolutely so surprising, isn't he? Because when he turned up, we all thought he was really good for a while.
Yeah,
he's the opposite of what we were talking about earlier with people like Waddle and Son and Lennon. He turns up for about first 3 months, we're thinking, oh, he's good, and all the media and everyone was saying he's really, really good.
And then just disappeared.
Disappeared, lost his place, then bizarrely goes to Man United, and now he's off at Brentford. What I mean, how bad is he? How bad can he be? He's played for Real Madrid and Man United, and now he's going to Brentford, who aren't.
Well, he's not a terrible footballer, is he? I mean, let's be honest. Clearly, there's something remiss.
You think left back wise, obviously, Udogie is like the best left back in history. But I mean, after that, you're looking at Ben Davis, who's a great pro and he's really put in a shift, but he's not really a, you know, he doesn't have the physicality of a Postecoglou fullback. You know, he's not quick. No. And then you're looking at Sessegnon, who we've already made reference to. So you think...
Look, it's an obvious thing that has to be filled in the summer. We would have to say. You can get away with Ben Davis if need be, as long as the Udogie... You know, whatever happens, you know, Ben Davis will always be 6 or 7 out of 10, never 5, rarely 8. You know, you get a certain level of performance. Mm. And I think he's been really good in left side centre half and play left back. He's done really well. Also, he's the longest serving player at the club now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Which is hard to believe with Lloris having gone and Dyer. So he's the one who outstayed all of that lot.
Yeah.
There's a glaring summer acquisition, which will be a left back.
Yeah.
Because hopefully we're playing enough matches with Europe and Champions League next season.
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to need to rest Udogie occasionally. The key is that when you lose players, you don't want to have too much of a drop-off.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, do you think the question now is, I mean, this transfer window, we hit the ground running, we're already ahead of the pack now with, Dragic and Werner, but they still talk about other possible acquisitions, in particular in the centre of midfield. It seems to be the case that people think that Højbjerg would like to go, but he will only go if we get someone else in. There's still talk regularly of Gallagher.
Gallagher and João Gomes are the two.
João Gomes of Wolves is the other one, who's quite young, isn't he? But he gets rave reviews. Do you think...
They're in trouble, aren't they?
Wolves have got some financial problems which suggest they might need to sell.
Well, I mean, they've not been done by... Premier League this week, so they sold it. Ruben Neves basically, that was early enough to ensure that they were okay.
Right,
but they have spent money. But they're not silly money, but they have, and they've also been been aware of the issue and have taken steps to avoid it. Unlike Everton and Forest, who said nothing to do with me, shut their eyes, walk through it. Oh, they think we've been charged again. How unfair is that? Well, don't break the rules. My argument.
Yeah.
So I do think a midfielder with legs is important, because that's the thing that Saar's obviously given the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And while Skip did well, he hasn't got those sort of legs.
Mm.
And if you've got the option, then if you've got to rotate, assuming that Maddison's always going to start if he's fit, so you're looking at two places.
Mm.
If you've got Bentancur, who I think is a certainty, but you've got Bissouma, you've got Saar, and you've got one other who you really think is ready.
Yeah, and of that level.
And has got that athleticism as well.
Mm.
Then it just it gives you the option again to rotate when they get tired.
Yeah.
So I think it's about having those that versatility and option and range of players, because it's taken its toll. I mean, it's a very physical game now.
Mm-hmm.
It's high intensity. The matches are lasting longer than ever before because of the extra time. So Tottenham have played more than three matches of additional time in the Premier League alone this season. Played 293 minutes, I think I've calculated.
Of added time. That's amazing, isn't it?
More than anybody else. Villa the second on 287. God, I'm boring my stats.
Impressive stats.
But Blimey. Nevertheless, so that, and also the other thing is, because of the delays caused by VAR, I think that is contributing to injuries. The players stop, hang around for a couple of minutes, and have then got a sprint, and the muscles aren't quite ready for that, because they need to warm up again. You can't do that because you're waiting for the decision. So there's all these sort of things. You need to have depth more than ever before.
But you've not heard anything that suggests these deals are
not imminent, but we've got 14 days to go.
Yeah, there's plenty of time to go with two players already in the door.
And also, if it doesn't happen, it's not going to be.
It's not the end of the world. We've got loads of players in there, and we've got a lot of cover in those positions.
I think it will be. It wouldn't be devastating if Højbjerg went, nor would it be awful if he stayed.
Yeah,
because times when you get frustrated with his distribution and his poor touch. There are other times you think he's done such a good job winning the ball back there and dogging it in and doing what he has to do.
Also his attitude. I mean, you know, he was demoted. He was part of the senior leadership squad last year. You know, I mean, he's been, you know, there's been no sulking or there's no.
No, you know, he always gives it everything. Yeah. And he always makes a big contribution. Exactly. He's just one notch below the class level that we're trying to get up to now. I haven't seen much of this João Gomes, but he's the one.
I mean, it could all be just agent talk. You never quite know. I'm sure there's been some intimations of interest, and if they really want to get one in, if they set up a deal for Højbjerg, if they get one in, they might as well look for the one to get in, but it needs to be the right one as well.
Yeah. And any other positions you think we should be? I heard someone saying we still need a striker. You reckon? What do you think, Matthew? Do you see any obvious glaring? I mean, it's a pretty, when they're all fit and not suspended and not playing on other continents, it's a pretty extensive squad, isn't it?
So good that we're virtually the only team that sort of bought anybody. I mean, we move so quickly. Listening to Eddie Howe.
I don't think anyone's spent any money yet in the Premier League apart from Tottenham, and that's in one player.
Apparently, it's one of the quietest transfer windows there's ever been. And I was listening to Eddie Howe. He's not normally a whinger, you know.
No.
We can't buy anyone because no one's our friend, and we can't buy, you know.
He's certainly whinging now.
About our recruitment, you know, where suddenly these guys who we've never heard of just suddenly appear. You know, like Dragicin, who'd heard of this guy?
Yeah, I mean, none of us had. Well, no. Martin probably had, but the rest of us hadn't. And he looks bloody good on YouTube.
Yeah.
Plus, have you seen him with a Rubik's Cube? I mean, I like that. I know it should be irrelevant, but I like that sort of thing. I like that kind of sharpness. I think he looks really, really good.
He looks very confident, just the way
he came on. He came on. He didn't. He looked
just
absolutely fine,
didn't he?
Yeah. Looked absolutely fine. Looked like he belonged where right there. Yeah, so I don't know, another striker. But to get a striker, I mean, there's no point in just getting any old striker. You'd have to pay a lot of money, wouldn't you?
Well, I think if Richarlison hadn't been scoring goals, may have accentuated the issue. But he is scoring goals.
Yeah,
he looks as if he's been rejuvenated by being able to talk about his mental health issues.
Yeah.
And the injury, the operation.
Yeah.
And you know, and I was in Qatar a year ago, and watching him score that incredible goal in the World Cup. The talent is unquestionably there.
Yeah.
I thought his application, which I know is the minimum you'd expect, but his application on Sunday.
Yeah.
In addition, he scored a goal, but he was winning the ball back high up the pitch and really didn't stop.
And sometimes he's coming back and winning the ball right low down the pitch as well.
So I like that. And
me too.
So, and if he's not quite right. In 3 weeks' time, you can play Son at nine.
Yeah.
You did at the start of the season. So it's not as if we're.
No.
And he is that third top scorer in the Premier League this season. He's
did
not
you
doing
see
so
that
bad.
Stat that our top three have scored 24 goals and the top three of Arsenal have scored 11?
Really?
Yeah.
They're five attacking players, including Odegaard and Havertz has scored 15 goals, maybe 19 goals between them this year. That's that's all their goals, basically.
You don't want to tempt fate, but they do look a bit of a busted flush, don't they?
This is obviously going to look really silly, but I think looking at the numbers and the stats, that was their chance last year.
Yeah.
Because all of their attacking players had the best performances in terms of goals in their careers. They were all XG, they talk about, but it's not about chance conversion, much higher than at any other point in their career.
And now they've gone back
down. Now they've reverted to the mean, what they always are.
Yeah.
And they play more cautiously than they did. Mm-hmm. They've been unlucky with the left back getting injured before kicking a ball, Timber, because he's very good. But that doesn't... they seem to be struggling a little bit. And if they lose their centre-half, who is really, really good...
Yeah.
I think Saliba's probably the best centre-half in the league. I think he's really good. If they lose him... We saw what happens when they lose him at the end of last season. They fall apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Please... Not that I want anyone to be injured, but please let them fall apart.
Yeah, but if someone does have to get injured, could it be him? Yeah. I mean, actually, I was thinking last season they were on that incredible run and we were all fearing the worst. And I think at various... We all at different points just thought, oh, no, it's definitely happening. You know, you think about making arrangements to leave the country for a month around about May. But the one thing it looked like, we thought those centre-backs are so good, because the other one's good as well, and they're good together, aren't they? And you thought, that if they could just get an injury there. And then this season, when we started, we had, you know, we were unbeaten after 10 games and top of the league, and I'm thinking, if we can keep those centre-backs fit, we're in the race here. And then, of course, we lost them both on the same night. Yeah. So it's a similar situation, weirdly. Eve Bissouma, Matthew, has got malaria. What do you make of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You heard it here third. That's terrible, isn't it?
It is.
But according to...
I'm laughing. No, I don't.
Well, it's like so Spursy, isn't it? One of our players goes to the African Cup of Nations and gets malaria. It's like something out of a Tintin book.
Yeah.
I mean, he apparently he'd be all right after 2 weeks. And as we were discussing this before, that if he gets 2 weeks off from playing football and he puts his feet up and then he comes back with a clean bill of health, yeah, happy days. Maybe it plays into our hands a bit. But let's hope that we wish him well, obviously. Let's now do what we always have to do at the end of it. I like predictions.
We're doing Dyer, by the way.
Oh, Dyer. So, excuse me, we've got to talk about Dyer. We've got to talk about dear old Dyer. I think we should. Dyer's gone, and it's like... You know, it's a bit like a memorial service where you thought the bloke was a bit of a dickhead and you never really liked him, and then he's gone and you're saying wonderful things about him in a speech. He was such a lovely man. He was so... I think I've exaggerated it, because I think Dyer actually... I honestly believe that Dyer actually, over the piece, over these 10 years of service, made a huge contribution. He was a colossal figure on and off the pitch. And actually, there was a time when he was... first on the team sheet for England and Tottenham in central midfield because he merited it.
Yeah.
You know, so I like Dyer and I certainly wish him well where he's gone. I'm really delighted for him.
No, I mean, I think if you look over the first 6-7 years, he was a really critical key part of that team in all the positions. You know, he started off playing right back, didn't he, on his debut, scored that goal at West Ham, went into defence, then into... sort of holding midfielder or part of a line.
Tim Bailey, that's a great...
And it was really good, and then dropped back. And it was, you know, he got into the World Cup squad of his form at the start of last season, and then he just disappeared again, unfortunately. And I feel for him in that regard, because I don't think it ended particularly well, and it would have been quite humiliating for him to realise he was that far down the pecking order. But I don't think anyone could look at his overall contributions to the club and not think he's actually done a really good job. It may have tailed off, it may have been disappointing, he became a bit of a scapegoat. Mm. But to be honest, I don't think anyone could have played centre-half last season and not looked bad because of the mess in front of him. Mm. So it actually made his performances look worse than they possibly were. And every mistake then becomes, you know, another stick to beat him with, unfortunately.
Yeah. We went, Matthew, as you will recall, to his debut game, which was the first game of the season 10 years ago at West Ham.
And I'd bought a tout ticket, so I was in the main stand. But you and John Crace,
right behind the goal,
right behind the goal when he scored that winning goal as a, you know, as a deputy. You know, we didn't know much about him. He'd signed, he's a defender, and suddenly he's bursting through. He's rounded the keeper and slotted it home. In time added on, I think it was.
Right.
And the away end, it was one of those great things. I was watching
fantastic.
From the main stand, watching him. And then, of course, you were in the paper, you and John Crace in the paper. I recycle that picture regularly. The two of you just...
With little arrows pointing to us again.
What a great debut. I mean, in moments in his career, that's got to be right up there. Scoring that penalty for England as well in the first knockout penalty shootout win for England in a World Cup ever. I mean, the pressure. And he's tucked that away.
All the Spurs players score their penalties in that game, I ought to point out. Trippier and Kane as well.
Right. And the thing about that midfield thing, it's he came as a centre-half, I think. Then they started playing him at right-back because there was inevitably there were injuries and stuff. And he wasn't great at right-back. And he had a terrible ordeal, I remember, at home to Newcastle, a game against Newcastle, where he got totally caught out for a goal. And it really upset him. And then, at the beginning of, like, Pochettino's maybe second or third season, there was bad injuries in central midfield. They had to stick him in because they had no one else. And within, I think, 8 weeks, he's in the England squad in that position.
And he scored that goal, didn't he, against Germany for England. Pretty sure he scored in that game, didn't he? He scored the header.
I can't remember.
He scored the winner, didn't he, against Germany?
Did he?
Yeah, he scored the winner against Germany, 3-2 from 2-0 down in Berlin.
I don't remember that at all, but I certainly
before
think...
Before the Euros in 16, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think history will be kind to him. He's a serious figure, yeah.
Yeah, I've never really understood why this idea that he's a dickhead sort of established. Because apparently he's like really nice.
He's a good guy,
He's even like helping Van der Vaart settle in, even though he's the guy...
I think he's a good guy.
And all the, you know, Dele Alli and the...
Yeah.
He was defending his brother's honour when he went into the stand, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he just looks a bit odd.
I think he's a good guy. I think he's an atypical footballer. Some people said he got stick because he was a bit middle class.
Spoke
too many languages. Yeah. Who does he think he is?
Yeah.
And he was very into green issues and shit like that. I mean, come off it, mate.
That's right. Keen gardener.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and he had an app. He had an app to do with good restaurants and shit. Anyway, no, I like him, and I think we all agree. I mean, everyone here wishes him well, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He lacked a bit of pace, but, you know, he's not the first. No. All right, so let's make predictions. First of all, I want to make sweeping, massive predictions about this season, Martin. We ask this regularly. What's your latest prognosis for the season?
I remember coming here... to the other venue used in London just before Christmas, just after the World Cup last year, and I said, there is no way on earth that this team won't finish in the top four.
So, that's why we value your predictions.
I mean, to be fair, if someone had told me the manager was going to implode the club,
it
might have been a bit different.
Yeah.
But I think if they stay fit through the season, big caveat there, if the players stay fit, they will finish in the top four. Now, where, I know not.
Right.
But I think they can win 12 or 13 of the last games.
Yeah.
And that will be more than enough to finish in that top four, which is what the aim of the... And it could be better than that. You never know.
Yeah, because it looks like all those big teams are going to take points off each other, and they're all capable of dropping points. They've got crowded schedules and stuff, haven't they?
And the one thing in our favour is in sort of March, April, we're playing game a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they'll all be playing massive games that are going to take their toll. So let's just see. But I think there's no reason at all to say that we shouldn't be there, because Villa have done really well this season, but I'm not sure how much depth they've got.
Yeah.
And they've got all of the extra games to play in the Conference League as well. And I know they're going to win a lot of them, but they're still going to play the games. And that might become their focus towards the end of the season, because they can win that easily. They're probably the best team in that competition.
Yeah. Matthew, what do you reckon?
I agree. I think fourth. I feel quite confident. Yeah, I think we're only going to get stronger. People coming back from injury. I think the big Ange system and the whole momentum is only going to grow. I think if we survived the last 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Something
incredibly
special has emerged in what could have been a really... crappy, disastrous period.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, I feel almost more confident than I did even before the way we were playing before the Chelsea game.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, I think
Price is Right.
Higher. Yeah, I mean, there's a real feeling of optimism. I mean, you've had a tenner on us to win the double.
What price was that?
What'd you get for that? 100.
It's
36 to 1.
What? 35 grand if we
win a double.
36 to 1. No, that's the league 36.
Oh, okay.
Double.
It's more like
12, 14.
Right. Well, I agree. Top four could be anywhere in that. I agree. Well, that's it. We haven't even got a game to predict because we're in our lovely. Are they going away anywhere? Are they going away, Sunny?
I don't know where they are, actually.
Oh, right.
I thought they were staying and just working.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's the midwinter break for Tottenham. So there's no upcoming game. We'll have another show before the next game, which will be next week at the Antwerp Arms. That'll be where we will anticipate the Manchester City FA Cup game, which will is a mouth-watering prospect, especially at £35. Bloody hell, can't believe it, quid's in. But for now, Martin Lipton, Matthew Hamilton, thank you both very much. As you know, everyone here, we got a very special guest coming up for our next show. None other than Terry Naylor is in the house. So for everyone at home, that show will be released in a few days' time. For everyone here, 10 minutes, we'll kick that off. And for now, thanks very much, everyone. Theo Delaney saying, go you Spurs!
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.